communion. It's more than just taking a moment and taking bread and wine and remembering what he did on the cross, because that was the past. He said, remember what I did on the cross. Remember who I was. Remember what I did. And so I just want to go over that just a little bit. When I take communion, I'm actually proclaiming to the seen and the unseen world that what Jesus did on the cross. Okay, I'm also coming into an agreement with heaven. Okay, heaven's, my Father says, hey, take communion and take it often. Now, I may not understand the depth of that, but when God says something, I do it, something powerful begins to happen. There's an arena or an aspect that opens up in my life that's a big deal. When we take communion, we're also announcing to this world our faith in him, and the unseen world our faith in him and what's to come. Amen? You're announcing him as your Savior. You're announcing that your faith in his atoning death, what he did for you on the cross. So what actually happened on the cross? So he says, remember the past. Remember what I did. I was redeemed and I was paid for a price. So every time that I take communion, I should remember that I was redeemed and I was paid for by for a price. I was saved. I was healed. I was set free emotionally and physically. I became a son. What Jesus did on the cross let me become a son, connected back to the Father. I could actually live in him and he could live in me. So I have to remember that. So when I take communion, when I remember this purpose of what he did so I could continue on with it. But so many times is we second guess the past. We second guess if we're sons. We second guess if we're worthy. We second guess if all of this, which doesn't allow me to walk in who I am now. So I'm a son. He lives inside of me. I'm seated in the heavenlies. And if I don't remember the past, I can't walk in the present. Does that make sense? Amen. So today, thank you, Pops. Today I want to talk about the present. So, of course, it comes from 1 Corinthians 11. For whenever you eat the bread often, whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you're proclaiming Jesus' death. I realize that I belong, because of that, because of what he did in the past, I belong here. I belong here. What he did gave me this ability to do what I'm doing. It's the whole reason that he died. Jesus died on the cross so my relationship with the Father could be restored. So I could now again, what was once, I could once again have again, right? So when at the beginning God created Adam and Eve, and in the garden he had communion with them. He walked with them daily, and he put two trees inside the garden. And those two trees, one of them wasn't planted by the enemy, and one of them planted by God. Both of them were planted by God. And he said, listen, if you eat from this tree, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. But if you eat from this tree, this communing tree, this tree of life, then you're going to have life and you're going to have it more abundantly. So remembering the past, what he did gave me the capability of walking who I am today. Right, so it gives me this relationship of walking back and forth. So take communion often so I can remember that I'm a son and he restored this relationship. And I don't need a church. I don't need a pastor. I don't need a priest. I don't need anybody. I just need a space and a time where I can connect with him. Amen. So take off. Amen. So many times what was happening is we kind of gave the Father a bad rap. Because we believe things like he was kind of like our Santa Claus, right? We could do whatever the hell we wanted to do. We could act whatever we wanted to act, and we could do what, and we could go before our Santa Claus and ask him to solve all of our problems. So I could take my credit cards, and by faith, I could charge everything up, and then I could go to Jesus in prayer and say, heal my credit. Right? That's what he was there for. He was actually there to get me out of all the trouble that I had actually gotten into. That was the purpose of God and the Father in heaven. And that's basically what we almost believed. Can I tell you, that's what I believed before I gave my life to the Lord. I used to drink and drive, and whenever a cop would get behind me, I'd go, oh, Jesus, please, 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 Jesus. If he don't pull me over, I'm going to be at church Sunday morning. Well, we laugh, but church believes the same thing. Right, we sow bad fruit into our marriage, and we want a good harvest. We sow bad fruit in our workplace, but yet we want a good harvest. It's what Pastor Allen said last week, is the harvest you reap reveals the seeds that you were planted. So where you're at now, where you are at right now is the sum of all the decisions that have got you to this place. That's period. That ain't about Jesus, that's about you. Amen? I mean, the Father got a bad rap when really it was about a relationship. It was about talking with him before I did things. It was about talking with him every day. It was not just asking him for things, right? It was about having a relationship and telling him how I physically felt, how emotionally I was doing, where I was struggling at, what I was doing, having a relationship with the Father that would take me to that place. I'm going to go on to a rant just for a minute. I'll tell you how bad we got it. Pastor Harvey, the other day, me and him was in his office, and the little light was blinking off and on his phone. I said, oh, you got a message, Pastor Harvey. So we checked the message, and it was from a lady who had a friend who was dying of cancer. She had breast cancer, and it had already spread throughout her whole body. And the lady had called and wanted us to pray. And so Harvey calls her back, and he goes and he meets with the lady. Now, the problem is most Christians think the next part of that testimony is that, and she was healed. Because we can't believe that God doesn't move if it's not just a healing. But really what happened was Pastor Harvey meets with the lady, and it was crazy because when he met with her, he restored joy inside of her life. And you know, there's 150 scriptures about joy inside the Bible. But yet we forget about those types of testimony. Guess what? He actually, as he shared Christ with her and the life of Jesus, he restored hope inside of her life. You know, there's like 30 or 40 scriptures about hope inside of the Bible and what it does to the side of your life. So we blow up, or we kind of mess these testimonies up instead of going, I think the testimony should go something like this. And I met with a lady the other day. She had breast cancer, and it had spread throughout her whole body. And I prayed that God's healing power would work from the top of her head to the bottom of her toes. And I don't know if it happened, but you know, when I left, she was full of joy. She was full of peace. She was full of hope. It was unbelievable what God was going to walk with her through the journey. But we don't do that. We come up with this thing, and where we hide it, it's got to be what we think it's got to be. Instead of believing that hope is a big part of my Father's character. Peace is a big part of my Father's character, right? Joy is a big part of my Father's character, amen? So, taking communion daily reminds me. It reminds me to talk to Him. It reminds me. It reminds me to ask for guidance. It reminds me of how precious He thought this relationship was, that He would send His Son to die on a cross, that relationship with me could be restored. A relationship. Talking often. Communicating often. Not just when I come to church, or not when I just have problems, or not when I just got some issues going on. Or, you know, a lot of times we don't know God unless there's stuff going on inside of our life. So taking communion, it begins to allow that to happen, right? But what's crazy about that is what we haven't walked into, or we haven't understand that I want to get to today, is there's even more that happens, right? In this communion with Him, He gives me the answers to my business. So as I go before Him and I've got this business and I'm running these guys and I'm going, Jesus, tell me where I'm going and what I'm doing, and He gives me the answers of where I'm going. He gives me the answers. I can sing proud and louder than Him. I'm not messed up about that. So He gives me the answers to my family versus me begging Him to come and do something. He actually talks to me about my family, right? He gives me the answers to my job. It's crazy. He gives me supernatural insight that only comes from heaven. And so when we miss this communing, we miss current day, presently, what the Father wants to do in your life, in your family's life, in your business life, in your job. You miss it because you're not having a communion with Him right now. Amen. Pat, I want you to come up.
So, I don't know, a handful of months ago, I was really having a lot of Charlie horse in my calf. And one night I was laying there and I was just like, I'm starting to get frustrated. And those who know me well know that in the past, I would turn on the Lord. It's like, God, why don't you heal me? And you know, true. Why am I having to go through this? And I get mad at God. And I just didn't have a few bad words. I really had it out with the Lord when that happened. And I felt that coming on me. And I just said, okay, enemy, there's no way that you're going to win this. I don't care what happens, but I'm just going to have a time of one-on-one with me and the Lord. And if I'm having spasms the whole time or I'm not having them all, it doesn't matter. And so I just started to just relax. And I said, Father, I have no agenda. And it was like, it wasn't an audible voice, but it could have been. Came back to me, oh, but do I have an agenda?
Come on.
Every time we go to meet with the Lord, he has an agenda.
Amen.
And if I just say, God, I just don't have an agenda. And for the next, I don't even remember how long. And I asked him, I said, did I email that to you? I can't find where I wrote it down, whatever. But I had a download in the spirit, just like a computer program, for between an hour and 2 hours. I lost track of time. And I was, you know, I thought I was writing stuff down. I looked everywhere. I can't find any of it. But it was all etched in my spirit. It was all etched in my mind, stuff that God was doing in my business. And I was thinking about it today. I don't even know how much of it yet is going to be unfolded as I go forward. How much of it's in there that I don't even know what it is. I mean, it was just like, ideas for presentations and phone scripts and all these things, how to hire agents, all the things I have to do for my insurance business, quick, just nonstop. And it's just like, if you ever had that happen, it's overwhelming because it's like heaven is invading your earth, you know, in a big, big, big way. And so it's just been revolutionary, all the different things. And like I said, I don't even know all that even happened during that time. That's the cool part about it. I believe there's stuff that's going to continue to happen. And then after that, it was like I would just go before the Lord, and it would be like nothing was happening. How many have ever felt that before? If you haven't, you will. When you're going to have times of encounter with the Lord and communion and one-on-one like that with the Lord, there's going to be some times where it just feels like heaven's opening up and it's raining and treasure and everything else, and other times where it's just like nothing. And when I was talking about it, I just said, Lord, I just feel like there's nothing or whatever. And he goes, it's not about what you feel. It's about what I'm doing. And so by faith, I'm still just going and saying, okay, Lord, I am going to just make myself totally available to you. And I have no agenda, but I know that you do. And I know that it's going to change all of us as we do that. And whether we're going through the best times in our life or we're going through the worst times in our life, if we just allow him to just invade our lives and to do those downloads and to pour into us and trust that no matter what it seems like, if it seems like nothing's happening, he's moving and it's life-changing. It has to be, and that's the power of communion. It just changes us.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. I came to a place to realize I'm not even there. I have to tell you the truth. I come to a place where I'm trying to realize that the Alpha and the Mega and the beginning and the end and the King of Kings, the purest of all pure, decided to live inside of here. He felt like this soul was a good place to rest. And I just am beginning to stop questioning what he's doing and begin communing with him of how to do it. Amen? And so maybe if all of us would get to that place that from the beginning, he had an agenda. And that agenda was he wanted his people. He wanted a communion. He wanted a relationship with people. And he wanted it so bad that he put his son to pay the price to have that relationship with us. And maybe instead of us trying to figure it out or trying to look up all the Greek words or the Hebrew words or try to figure out this theology or that theology or what's good or what's bad, maybe we would just stop. Maybe we would just stop in our tracks and go, wow, maybe this is about this. And that's what he's looking for, amen? Acts chapter 2, it says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Say one place. I always wanted to do that. I didn't have a reason to say one place. I thought that would just be a good place. Say one place. Let's say it again. One place. Okay, again. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated them and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled. What I always thought that was a pretty amazing thing. But can I tell you, it happens all the time. Have you ever been in grace in worship and you begin to feel a beat? Anybody? Have you begun to feel like the atmosphere changes or shifts as you can feel it? See, we read stories and we don't understand that the stories that we're experiencing, whether God heals a little puppy or he brings joy to a lady or whatever it is, that we're actually in the midst of that. But we ignore our experiences and we look at those other experiences were greater than what we were doing. So I've been in worship where, five or six people would come to me in the middle of worship and say, can you feel the atmosphere changing? Can you feel what's happening? I'm like, yeah, I can feel it. I can feel something shifting. I feel like, and so, you know the rest of the story of what happened when they began to speak in tongues. People from all different kind of religions would hear them speaking in their languages, and then suddenly somebody said, hey, they must be drunk, and then Peter stands up and he says, no, I declare that no one's actually drunk, that they're just filled with the Spirit, and Peter stands up and says that, and he says, in the last days, I will pour my Spirit out upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. How many people here has ever had a prophetic word inside of this building? Raise your hand. Your young men will have visions. How many of you have ever had visions? Young men. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Your old men will have dreams, and even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and you know the rest of the story, and all will be saved. And at the end of the story, it says that all those who heard were baptized, and he added to their numbers every day. And all that was happening, I believe, is 11 people connected with the Father, and in that connection with the Father, something happened. I think it's who he made you to be. He made you to connect with him. And then as you connect with him, and whether you're home, you connect with him, or whether you're at work and you connect with him, or whether you're on vacation and you connect with him, as you connect with him and we all come together, something happens when we all bring that connection back together. Instead of believing, hey, listen, it doesn't really matter if I connect. I'm just going to go to a place where somebody's connected and I'll get a little bit of Jesus from them. I do believe that happens. But I believe that what happens is when we're all connected and we come together connected, something actually moves. And I know it's, I don't understand his nature. And I don't understand who he is. Because when God pours his Spirit out upon somebody and they do something or something happens or he pours a blessing out upon him, I still get a little bit of jealous. Am I the only one? No. See, it's like that God doesn't have enough to bless all of his children and pour out blessings to all of his children that when he does something to somebody, I get all jealous about it because I really don't understand the nature of my Father. So I know I'm not there. I know I'm not there yet. I know that I can't stop communing here because there's things in the natural that show me that I haven't made it yet, that I'm still living this world that after 60 years taught me how to live, and I'm not presently understanding the character of my Father. So it pushes me back to this place when somebody wins $1 million. I'm like, what the, what up me? I could have did so much better with that instead of going, hey, praise the Lord that God blessed them. Or a church, if I go by a church, I mow a church in West Little Rock, I walk in and go, this is absolutely incredible. Why them, Lord? Instead of going, man, this is so great, God, how you pour your spirit across Little Rock and what you do in each and every place. And I'm so happy and I'm so glad that you're not only blessing that church, but you're doing this in this church, and the Baptists are going there and the Methodists are doing this. Man, this is incredible what you're doing across the body of Christ. So I know I'm not there because I don't have all those feelings. What about you? So it forces me back to this place. It forces me back to going, God, I need to commune with you. I need this relationship with you because I tell you, for 60 years, I've learned it a different way. And in this relationship with you, something differently happens. And I want to change the way you want me to change and not just keep the way that I am. Can I tell you, if I'm left by myself, I'm going to stay the way I am. It allows me to step into this presence. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know the story. The king throws them in the fire, and he sees them in the fire, and there's four of them. He's like, pull them out. That's just them communing with God. You know, I don't care if it was Paul when he got knocked off his horse and was being blinded. That was his moment with God. Mine happened to be doing 90 miles an hour on the Autobahn. It's the same story. It's about a father communing with you, and you have a same story, and it would make the book the same way. And whether it was Moses going on top of a mountain and meeting him, it's the same story, it's the same way. It hasn't changed. It's all about you and him and this relationship. See, these Bible stories are just in stories of people who encountered God. And they weren't to be amazed and worried about that. They should be, oh, wow, you did it for them. You'll do it for me. It's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. I don't know how many of you caught this, but I think it was a couple of weeks ago, a young man charged the stage as Pastor Allen finished preaching, cracked me up. Because it's not normally something we would do. He said, hey, I got something to say. It's just not normal. I'm just not used to them up here preaching, and somebody raised their hand, I got something to say. And I'm like, oh. And Pastor Allen says, well, you can tell me after. He goes, perfect. And he comes up here and he's whispering in Allen's ear, which just happens to be the mic for everybody. Cracked me up. But he said something that a lot of times we just let go by. He'd probably been here five times he was coming through. Just happened to stop by here. And he says, as you guys were communing with God, the chains on my life fell off. Now, can I tell you that there was nobody happier than he was? That's amen. Nobody was happier than he was, his wife and his future kid. He said, listen, as you guys were communing with God, can I tell you, it would have made the book. It would have made the book, but sometimes we get so used to his presence that we miss the stories that belong in the book. It was life-changing. He said, listen, I came in here, and you guys were communing with God, and the chains have fallen off my life. Now he's in Indiana. Praise the Lord. Amen. Genesis 4, it says this, Genesis 4:26, it said, then the men began to call upon the name of the Lord. The word call upon his name means to murmur. It means to groan. It means to chant. It literally means to be entangled with God. When the people of that day begin to entangle with God, this communing with God, and then it says in Isaiah, it says, for those who wait upon the Lord and renew their strength, they will mount upon wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Those that entangle themselves in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who entangle themselves in the Lord will run and not grow weary. Those who entangle themselves with the Lord will walk and not feel faint. They will soar on the wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. That's talking about us. It's talking about those who want to entangle themselves into the Lord. This is what happens. Now, I don't know if a lot of you know Bethel. Bethel has a school, and it's called the School of Technology. Has anybody heard of it? Okay, good. Okay. What they do is they train like-minded believers in, they train them in software development and data science and cybersecurity, and so they can be launched into the most influential parts of the world and change the world. Newsweek actually nominated them as one of the top three colleges in the world for this kind of education. 80% of their students get jobs within 3 months of graduation, and they range from $65,000 to $100,000, and before they started school, knew nothing about computers. Like, you could go to school. Ricardo's my friend. He's a teacher, so. Okay, and so they understood what was the key behind this school was the thing that they're calling spiritual intelligence. Okay? And so they're teaching the same information. They're taking the same information that every other university is teaching, but they're teaching people that they've got to, as they're learning this thing, they've got to stay in this communing with God. And if they'll commune with God, as they're learning this education, God will take them to another place because they'll get something downloaded inside of them as they do. So we know what IQ was. EQ came out not long ago, which was emotional intelligence. But spiritual intelligence is an advantage that believers have, but I believe that God gives it out. It's out there. I believe that Hollywood has it. I believe that these movies that we watch these movies and we're like, how in the world did a Disney movie catch on to that? How in the world did that Disney movie know aspects of the Father, characteristics of the Father's that they could actually write inside of a story? Because I believe it's available. See, spiritual intelligence, some of you may want to throw rocks at me right now, but spiritual intelligence is having the mind of God. But that's what 1 Corinthians said, right? 1 Corinthians says, we have the mind of Christ. So I didn't actually say it. Jesus said it before I did. So it's tapping into God's thoughts and actually making them present for everyday problems, everyday issues, instead of, guess what happens now? I tell you what I do. You give me an issue of the past, and I'll judge it by the past. You give me a current day issue, and if I'm not currently plugging in, I'll give you my opinion from the way we thought in the past. And it's scary because I don't know that's what God's thinking. I just know that's what I thought God thought. So I'm going to tell you what God thought instead of tell you what God was thinking. Amen. So if we don't move into this present communing with God, then we're not going to walk with what God's walking into this day and age. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Jesus said, I'm redeeming. He said, I'm redeeming the earth. I'm redeeming this back so that we could taste and see that his goodness is good and it leads men all to repentance, right? I'm redeeming. He's making something back. Redeeming actually means to regain possession of. I'm going to tell you a story. In 19th century, a guy named James Clerk Maxwell, they believed that he was the greatest physician. Is that how you say that word? Physician. Yeah, physicist. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. And they say that Einstein, they asked Einstein, they said, hey, what do you stand on? He goes, I stand on the shoulders of James Maxwell. And James Maxwell was a believer, and he believed in communing with God. And he believed this is what he said, that everything that we see or sense in the physical world is only one part of the equation. There has to be a guiding force in an invisible realm that's causing everything to operate and to exist. He believed that science actually pointed to the Creator, is what he preached on. He discovered, and it's crazy, he discovered in the 19th century, he discovered that light was magnetic. I don't know what it means. I have no clue what that means. But it means that ways that you could manipulate, he believed that there was ways that you could manipulate these waves in such a way that you could transform information from one place to the next through an empty space. I still don't know what that means. But I realized, they told me this, that this is the foundation of Wi-Fi. It's the foundation of radar. It's the foundation that satellites and everything that we have built our modern day communication and technology is on that place, because Maxwell believed in communing with God. And even though he didn't have all the answers, he knew the answers were coming. So he laid a foundation that the answers could be laid upon, even though he had no clue what Wi-Fi was. Because of this current thing with him, he began to say what was true before true was ever known. And so the same thing happens with us as we. So when I take communion, why take communion often? Because it reminds me of him. It reminds me to spend time. It reminds me of communion with him. It reminds me, hey, listen. Hey, it makes me stop throughout the day saying, Father, I don't know. I just want to spend time with you. It just gives me that place. And in the midst of that, it starts a habit pattern inside of my life where I call upon the name of the Lord 1,000 times a day. Not to save me. Not to deliver me out of my financial mess. Not to deliver me out of this, but just to have a relationship with him. Amen. 150 years ago, we stopped believing what happens when a person connects with God. There was a power of what happens when we connect with God. Acts chapter 2, you can put that up now, Daniel. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. 44, all the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of the generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily. They followed the teachings. Their hearts were mutually linked. They weren't against each other. They weren't mad at each other. They didn't have to talk about each other. They were mutually linked together. Your life is your life, but I'm mutually linked with you. They shared communion. Together, they met together for prayer. It led to a holy awe and miraculous signs and wonders. I've imagined how many times that I tried to get this perfect equation down. All believers in fellowship as one body. And I'm not just talking about the believers here. I'm talking about the believers in the Baptist church. I'm talking about the believers in the Catholic church. I'm talking about the believers in the Methodist church. All believers were in fellowship. They shared with one another. They met and they took communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. And the Lord added to their numbers daily. So isn't it crazy? They didn't have to do a lot of stuff to grow the church or to get unbelievers in. All they had to do what he said to do. And when you put your hearts together and you commune together and you have a relationship with the Lord together, something happens. And you don't have to wash windows and you don't have to cook hot dogs and you don't have to do all that to reach the lost to come in. because the lost sees who you are. Jesus said it this way, Father, I pray that they would become one as you and I are one. And he added to their numbers daily. I don't know. Maybe we ought to just give this thing a try. So I don't think that next week is just about getting out of the box. I don't think that next week is just about a progressive dinner, even though that's going to happen, even though we're going to get out of the box. I think next week is what happened. They devoted themselves to meeting house to house and breaking bread. And something happens. So it's not just a progressive dinner, even though it is. It is not just communion with one another, but even though it is, it's about all of that and you being presently involved with him, and then you bring him with you, and I bring him with me, and a suddenly will happen. And we'll quit trying to do all this other stuff to make suddenlies happen, because he told us how suddenlies happen. Amen. Come on, Pastor Melissa.
Okay, so Pastor Tim was talking about the present, and in that he said that, wasn't that cool about calling on him was actually entangling with him? I started thinking about, in the summer, I like to get these plants on my balcony, and on purpose, I get the ones that will entangle around the balcony, because I think they're so pretty. But then at the end of that, I'm like, trying to pull them down, because they're so entangled with my balcony, I cannot separate them. And I think that that's what, kind of part of what Pastor Tim was talking about, is just making this place with God to where the way I get those plants to tangle up is whenever they start to grow, I twist them around that rail. And then it grows a little more, and I make sure it twists, and I make sure it twists. And so that's what you do. You know, there's a principle, I don't remember the name of it, but it says if you want to start doing something big, you just start doing it in little increments, and before you know it, you've worked up to a big increment. So maybe right now for you to think of being entangled with God in the present on the daily is a little overwhelming, and maybe in your head it looks like something that it really doesn't look like. And so the way you start is you just start off with like a few minutes. And so like for me, I've just kind of done it different ways this year. The beginning of the year, I started doing communion, not because, truthfully, there are a few different reasons that I won't get into it, but what I have noticed is it's made me, for a couple of minutes in the morning, actually stop and acknowledge, like, what God's done. So when I eat the bread, I'm like, man, you've already done this. Like, you've already healed the things that feel too big to be healed. And you've already done this for me. And when I drink, you know, the juice, then I say, you know what, your blood flows through me. And so I have those couple of minutes. Another way is when I'm getting ready for work, I always play worship music. It's just what I do. And so it kind of just starts. And what I've noticed is, if I make the decision that I can entangle with God all through my day, and just like Sarah said, you don't have to work up to anything. I mean, he's there. He wants to go get groceries with you. He wants to do everything with you. Then you just take those few minutes and it eventually grows. So before we ended today, I'm going to play a song. The song really, I mean, it's pretty, but it really doesn't have anything. It's going to be 3 minutes. And the reason I picked just the 3 minutes of this song is I want to show you just taking 3 minutes to say, you know what, I want to start wrapping around God. I want to start entangling my life with God. And to show you 3 minutes, I guarantee you it'll change you. It'll change you. The start of 3 minutes will change you. And so when you do that, you can simply be with God. You can ask God, hey, how do I make this happen on the daily? Like, what's one thing I could do for 3 minutes this week that would start my process? Or maybe you're already there. Then what's the next thing? And so maybe that's what you need to do. I don't know, but I wanted to give you 3 minutes before you left this place, give you 3 minutes to spend time with God in the present, to be able to start tangling yourself up with him so that those things, so you can rest, so that you can. So next week, imagine that. What if everyone spent a little bit of time each day and they were more entangled with God next week whenever we do our eating bread in each other's homes? What kind of power? I mean, wouldn't that be crazy? So anyway, Daniel's going to play this song just for, it'll be around 3 minutes, and I just want you to spend a minute to commune with God and ask him what it looks like.